March 17th is, of course, big day to people of Irish descent. And when it comes to March 17th, the most celebrated individual is St. Patrick's. Now, the question that I posed was St. Patrick Catholic? And I trust that I'll be able to answer that sufficiently. Obviously, I feel that I can, or I wouldn't be raising it. Did you know that St. Patrick was not an Irishman? His parents were Britons. He is not a saint in the unbiblical sense of the Roman Catholic Church because he has never been canonized officially. He has been, by the rank and file, if I can use the term, adopted as a saint. But according to the rule of the Roman Catholic Church, he would have to be canonized. And according to the Schaff Herzog Encyclopedia, Volume 8, page 384, if you want to check it out. I don't know where you'll find them. Okay. I'm quoting a quote. But he was not canonized. Another surprising point, in Ireland, St. Patrick is claimed by the Protestants as well as the Catholics. He lived 389 to 461. Some question those dates, but it's in that general period of time. 389 to 461. So he lived very early in the history of the church. Tradition has it that he used the shamrock as an illustration of the Trinity. We know it as a national symbol of Ireland. But as I said, tradition says it was used to illustrate the Trinity. Let me give you a little background of St. Patrick. At 16 years of age, he was kidnapped and sold into slavery. You see, that's something that we must remember, that slavery did not only involve people of the black race, but it involved people of all races. And he was bought by a Druid chieftain, forced to tend his flocks. And this was in Northern Ireland. Now, I looked up the Druid. What is a Druid? And depending on who you read, it simply says it was an old Irish or Irish-connected religious group. However, you'll find different sources that will point out that they were sorcerers, magicians, and so there's definitely a cultic aspect. Even though some will try to make it seem just like an old religion. But he was bought by a Druid chieftain. After 6 years in captivity, he escaped and returned home to his parents. And that escape was very dangerous and difficult. And at this point, he went to Northern Gaul, now France, which is where they were at that time and called home. His manner of living was quite ungodly. Up until his being sold into slavery, he paid no attention to his parents. Now, so you see, that isn't something of just our generation or recent generations. And it can be very sad. You young people, let me tell you a story. It's a true story. I'll not use names in case somebody might know the individuals. But I had heard about a young adult who lamented not following the parents' advice. Now that was after this young adult got into all kinds of trouble with drugs, all kinds of trouble with the whole lifestyle that goes with drugs. And this young adult eventually ended up committing suicide. Okay? Well, let me change that. I believe what happened is this individual overdosed. Patches that are worn, they found one in this person's mouth. Okay? One of that individual's siblings, I'm purposely avoiding male, female, and all of that, okay? One of that individual's siblings did commit suicide. And had they listened to their parents, they would have had a very content and satisfying life. And so, you see, Patrick didn't listen to his parents. And before his being sold into slavery, he had no experience of salvation. There's only two writings of Patrick. One is called his Confessions, and the other is called Letter to the Christians under Coroticus, a very cruel king. Let me read a quote here from his Confessions. I was 16 and knew not the true God, but in that strange land, would be referring to Ireland, the Lord opened my unbelieving eyes and I was converted. Another quote. The Lord opened the sense of my unbelief that I might remember my sins and be converted with all my heart to the Lord my God. You know, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I'm wondering, had he heard the word from his parents that he did not follow? He would have had to hear the word from somewhere. But then another quote is, I was like a stone lying in the deep mire, and he that is mighty came and in his mercy lifted me up. Okay? Patrick believed that God, in his mercy, allowed him to be taken captive so as to lead him to a new and better life in Christ. And you know, that many times God uses. He allows a person his or her own way, and when they get to the place of dire destitution, not materially necessarily, but emotionally and spiritually, then they are caused to search for something more. Now, the ministry of Patrick, once he was saved, he became extremely burdened for the souls of the people of Ireland. And he determined to return to Ireland. His parents and friends tried to convince him otherwise, to not return to Ireland, reminding him of what he experienced when he was there and what the conditions were while he was there. However, as one Leslie B. Flynn writes, the love of God burned in his heart for the people of Ireland. You know, many times we ask a missionary, where are you called? And they may say to Romania or to Chile or, you know, some country. No, they're called to the people of those lands. It's to the people that a missionary goes. Another writer on this, Patrick, Donald F. McConaughey writes, and I quote, the Lord called him, however, to go back to Ireland with the message of salvation through faith in the Lord Jesus. This he did faithfully, and today he is known around the world as the man who brought the gospel to Ireland. So Patrick was a missionary. He was not a saint. He was a missionary in that he was and what is a missionary? A missionary is a Christian who goes from his own place of living, his own land, to another place of living and tells people there about Jesus Christ. That, in the simplest form, is what a missionary is. Now, that there are times where people in our own country, they will go from the state they live in or the area of a state they live in to a different state or different area of the state for the purpose of telling people about Jesus Christ. It's not just relocating geographically, but it's relocating in order to tell the people of that other location about Jesus Christ. And what was the message he preached in Ireland? And to answer that question, I'm going to quote from Patrick himself. The Lord, quoting, "The Lord opened the sense of my unbelief that I might remember my sins and be converted with all my heart to the Lord my God. Hence, I cannot be silent about the great benefits and the great grace," now that word grace is important, "the great grace which the Lord hath deigned to bestow upon me." Patrick preached grace, not works for salvation. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, you're familiar with it. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is" what? "The gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The 10th verse goes on to say, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." So Patrick's great desire then was to profess the Lord and all of the Lord's wonders. Again, I quote, "Hence I cannot be silent, because there is no other God, nor ever was, nor will be, than God the Father, unbegotten, without beginning, from whom is all beginning, the Lord of the universe, as we have been taught, and his Son, Jesus Christ, whom we declare to have always been with the Father. By him are made all things visible and invisible." Now, if you're familiar with the scriptures, you're beginning to realize these words that Patrick wrote are sounding a lot like scripture. Well, they are. He was made man, and having defeated death, was received into heaven by the Father, and he hath given him all power over all names in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue shall confess to him that Jesus Christ is Lord and God, in whom we believe, and whose advent we expect soon to judge the living and the dead," end quote. Now that's what Patrick believed. So let me answer the question that I began with. Is St. Patrick Catholic, or was St. Patrick Catholic? And I answer with a resounding no.
Yes, sir.
Patrick was not Catholic. Patrick was too much of a Bible believer to be a Roman Catholic. Okay? If living on earth today, we might call him a fundamentalist.
Yep.
One who believes in the fundamentals of the faith. Okay? I'm not now using and saying he's a fundamentalist in the sense of a movement.
Right.
That developed from people that believed in the fundamentals. You and I believe in the fundamentals of the faith. And that, in that sense, we're fundamentalists.
That's right.
We may not share that movement and all of what is identified with the movement of fundamentalism, but we are fundamentalists in that we believe the fundamentals of the faith. You see, Patrick preached grace. He preached mercy. He preached Christ alone for salvation. Not works, not sacraments, as the Church of Rome teaches, but conversion to Christ the Lord. And he preached his imminent second coming. The church doesn't preach the imminent second coming. Patrick was a Bible believer. And listen to me, that's very important. You and I may use that term Bible believer very frequently and even take it for granted. Well, yeah, we go to Black Creek Baptist Church and we're Bible believers there. But this meant something to Patrick. He was an ungodly person before his conversion. When he was kidnapped and sold into slavery, and who can maybe, well, I don't know as it's recorded anywhere, what kind of atrocities were perpetrated on him, but in our day, we hear about children being kidnapped and sold into sex slavery. I have no historical writings to substantiate this. So what I am giving you is my suspicion and opinion. But it wouldn't surprise me if when he was sold into slavery, he experienced the same sort of things that children that are sold into sex slavery experience today. And so when Patrick says it was the grace of God, it was the mercy of God, he is being lifted out of the depths of sin.
Yes, sir.
And you know what he became? He became a new person in Christ Jesus. And when he became a new person in Christ Jesus, it made him what? According to Paul writing to the Corinthians, it made him an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Now, what did he do? He went back to the land of his captivity in order to represent as an ambassador Jesus Christ. You see, this is not a Patrick that I ever heard about. You know, all I ever heard about was green beer. Okay? Green cakes. Green milkshakes. Now, I will say that on St. Patrick's Day, I am going to go to Dave's Diner in Ceres, New York, and get some corned beef and cabbage. They got about the best there that, and I've not tasted everybody's corned beef and cabbage, okay? But theirs is very good, and you get a plateful. And so you know, that part of of St. Patrick's Day I participate in. And I here's a little bit of trivia. Well, come St. Patrick's Day, I usually have a little badge that says, I'm an honorary Irishman. Okay? Of course, if you're Irish, that's a big day, and I understand that. And so I'm an honorary Irishman. Then our daughter Monica, who lived in Northern Ireland. Now look, Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, the twain shall never meet. Okay? Even though Great Britain is trying to force them together. And our daughter Monica was a missionary in Northern Ireland. And one year when she came home, she brought along two young ladies from a family that she was taken in. They would have her for Christmas. They would have her for other special days. And we were so thankful as parents that she had this family to be with. Well, two young girls came over with her. The one young girl saw the one young man at Grace Bible Church. And as they say, the rest is history. Okay? Because Karen Spears became Karen King. Married Jason. Those of you who went to RU remember Jason. Well, he and Karen got married. And she grew up in Northern Ireland. And they never celebrate St. Patrick's Day. Okay? And in respect to her, I no longer wore my honorary Irishman button. She would honestly be offended by it. Okay? We in the United States cannot understand. A lot of times we say, well, I don't understand why they can't get along, why they have to fight so much. It's an altogether different situation over there between the Protestant and the Catholic Church. than what the situation here is in our country. And I don't have time to even go into illustrate. I'm just saying that's the case. And so, I no longer did. And I thought, well, now I'm not around that Grace Bible. When St. Patrick's Day was on a Wednesday, then I'd wear green and everything, you know. And I no longer did that out of respect for her. And I thought, well, now I don't attend Grace and she's not around. I can wear it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still feel not right. So I still don't. But get back to this point in the subject. Many people have paid for this book with their lives. And I know you know that. But many people paid for this book with their lives. Not only during the Reformation and the period of time when it was being translated, but through the ages of history. We must remember to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted around the world.
Yes, sir.
And they are dying because they believe this book and will not deny Jesus Christ or the Scriptures. You can still read stirring stories about people who are persecuted for their faith. And they believe that this book and this book alone has the message of an almighty God. I quoted a Leslie B. Flynn before, and he states this. One writer says, Patrick knew much of the Bible from memory. In fact, Patrick is often said to have been a man of one book. He never appeals to the authority of creed or ecclesiastical leader or council. But in his writings, brief as they are, no fewer than 113 passages of scriptures are either quoted or mentioned.
Amen.
On the other hand, he makes no mention of many church practices of many ecclesiastical groups of today. Well, Pastor Hayne, I always thought Patrick was Catholic. The Roman Catholics say that he is. And yes, the Catholic Church says a lot of things that they cannot substantiate from the Bible or history. So, in conclusion, isn't that always a good thing to hear? Not always does that mean the end, okay? I don't know if you heard the story about a Catholic boy and a Protestant boy. They were good friends. And they decided they would go to church with each other. So they went to the Catholic church first. And of course, quite different service than what the Protestant boy was accustomed to. And I know we're not Protestants, okay? And so he'd always be asking, what are they doing now? Why are they doing that? All through the Catholic service, he was asking questions. When it was over, the Catholic boy said, what do you think? He said, well, that's certainly different. So they went the next Sunday to the Protestant boys' church. And it must have been a Baptist church, which I know is not Protestant. It must have been a Baptist church because everything was pretty understandable, you know. They sing a song and then they pray and then they give announcements and then they have special music. And so, you know, the Catholic boy didn't have any questions about that. He knew what was happening. But then when the preacher stood up, he took his watch off and he laid it on the pulpit and he asked, you know, the Catholic boy looked at the Protestant boy and says, What's that mean? And the boy said, absolutely nothing. So when the preacher says, in conclusion, don't get your hopes built up too much. But allow me to read a hymn that is credited to St. Patrick, one that he composed. Listen to it and how it rings with Bible truth, not council or papal decrees. I arise today through the strength of Christ with his baptism, through the strength of his resurrection with his burial, through the strength of his resurrection with his ascension, through the strength of his descent for the judgment of doom. I arise today through God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me, God's eye to look before me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to speak for me, God's shield to protect me. To protect me against the snares of the devil, against temptations of vices, against inclinations of nature, against everyone who shall wish me ill, afar and anear, alone and in a crowd. Christ to protect me. To protect me against poison, against burning, against drowning, against wounding, so that there may come abundance of reward. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ where I lie, Christ where I sit, Christ where I arise. Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of every man who speaks of me. Christ in every ear that sees me. Christ in every eye that sees me and every ear that hears me. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity. Through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness towards the Creator. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of Christ. May thy salvation, O Lord, be ever with us. Sounds to me like Patrick wanted to lift up Christ.
That's right.
Not the church.
Yes, sir.
Not the Pope.
Yes, sir.
Not any of the unbiblical saints. Was St. Patrick Catholic? No. Not if a man's writings mean anything. Not if the records of history account for things. I believe Patrick was a Bible believer, like you and I are.
Amen.
Now, may we live to the same depth of commitment. Though we may not be able to pen words like I just wrote, may our life be lived that they would be an expression of such words. Father in heaven, I thank you for the people of history that you have given to us. Paul, as he writes in Hebrews, writes about a great cloud of witnesses. Yea, if the understanding is correct about that cloud of witnesses, then I believe Patrick is part of that cloud of witnesses. So to the end that we would be pleasing to you, our Savior, the only one who matters, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now we'll take some prayer requests. How did Paul Gordon's cataract surgery go?
We have not heard.
Not heard? Okay. So let's keep him in prayer. And Bonnie's going to have her shoulder surgery. She thinks on Tuesday the 17th. She'll have to have that actual date confirmed.
Big thing is tomorrow. Stress test with the injection of the dye.
Oh, okay. Stress test.
Their surgery will depend on that stress test.
Okay. Well, Pat said I should be sure to find out, so I'll pass that on to her as well. About the stress test, and we'll all remember to pray for that. Also, let's pray tonight for the missionary Seatmans, Roy and Melanie Seatman in Mexico. So if at least one person in your prayer group would remember to lift their name to the Lord. All right, now let's take some others, and we see Autumn. Okay, we want to pray for Dale's back. When might you hear more regarding?
April 1st?
Okay, April 1st to hear from the doctor. All right. Okay, other requests. Caleb, pray for Pastor. I think that's a good prayer request, Caleb. We'll remember that. Caleb requests prayer for Pastor Asquith. Very good. Other requests? Any others? Doug?
So you can't really think first, but just keep praying for my grandma. As far as I know, the boot hasn't come off yet. So.
Okay, pray for your grandmother. What hasn't come off?
She has to walk with the aid of a boot.
Oh.
Keeps her foot in the line and all that. As far as I know, she can't get around without it.
Okay. His grandmother's trouble with her one foot, left or right, do you remember?
It's a left.
Left foot. Has to wear an alignment boot. So let's remember to pray for that. Sister Ruth Ann?
Okay. Becky Clayson.
Okay.
And Lisa Bumpalto. And again, the same issue with her mother. The boss for her flu.
Okay. Bronchitis, yeah. Yeah, she's hoping to come Sunday. She told me last night when she went to bed, she said, I'm praying the Lord will help let me go to prayer meeting. And she wasn't up so many times last night, but all day long she was coughing and hacking and coughing and hacking. And believe me, if she gets a coughing spell while she's here, you don't want her here. She obviously would leave. But if it comes on strong enough, she can't even get up and walk. And so I know the one time she was hacking and coughing, just tears running out. Not pain, just not so much coughing. All right, Rayanne.
Papa.
Going to pray for Papa?
Mm-hmm.
Grandfather?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we're going to pray for Papa. Rayanne's grandfather. Very good. Others? Unspoken.
And I got no prayer.
Okay, Tanya.
Pray for my dad. His one leg is so swollen up, he barely can get it into the leg of his pants, and it's making it very hard for him to walk at work. So he's got an appointment tomorrow. But just if the doctor would listen to him and hear what he's got to say.
Okay, pointing at the doctor tomorrow. Swollen leg. Swollen so bad he has trouble getting his pants on. That's her dad, Calvin. Josh.
I pray that I would have less anxiety now having sore.
Okay, he prays for less anxiety and for your sore arm.
I had a shot.
Oh! Is that a shot to take away your meanness? Apparently not. Or if it is, it didn't work. Other requests. Jody.
Thank you for praying for us Monday. And just to pray, Ray Ann's school meeting went pretty well. And we got some good results. And they're finally getting her talk box.
Yes.
Start communicating a little bit better.
Okay, good meeting at school. Is that where it was at school? Regarding Rayanne, she's going to be getting a talk box that can help her. And Jody says thanks for the prayers for that. All right, other requests? Sharon.
Good boys, specifically David right now, he's struggling with.
Okay, pray for the sons. David particularly is struggling about his future. Let's pray that he'll allow the Spirit of God. We know the Spirit of God will endeavor to be involved in that. Listen, you don't have to pray God work with David. You can count on it. God will work with him. Thing to pray for is that David would listen to the Spirit of God as he, David, is struggling to know what direction to go. And there's when I opened up in prayer, I said, Lord, if we ask for something that isn't needed, meet the need. And therefore, if you pray, God, help and work with David. He understands what you're asking for. But I think it's good for us as pastors to try to explain some of these things to make your prayer even more meaningful. Luke.
His sisters and brothers.
He wants prayer for his sisters and brothers. All right, very good. Any other requests?
No.
Only one a night.
Just keep my mom in prayer and my sister's family.
Amen.
All right. Prayer for Chris's mother and sister.
Family.
Sam?
No,
family. Oh,
sister's family. I hope your hearing aids, Ruth Ann, work better than mine do. John.
We got a phone call today. We have a friend, Becky Torrey. She's had cancer, and I guess it's she's not doing real well. We just found out today, so just ask for prayer for her.
Becky Torrey.
Becky Torrey, friend of theirs, has cancer. Okay, Jody.
Sorry, I got one more. There's a family in our trailer park. Chris has been given significant other a ride. Just to maybe a witness to them. They're going through a hard time right now. And they're getting ready to have a second baby. They don't know how they're going to support the family.
Okay, family, neighbor that Jody and Chris want wisdom and help for as they go through some hard times. All right, we're... Yes, Dale.
I was in the hospital with my roommate. His name is Tom. He called me last night, and I told him that our church would be praying for him. He's got a hard last name to pronounce.
No Greek, man.
Out of
Alabama.
Okay.
So I just told him we'd be praying for him. So
okay.
Tom, God knows who he is.
All right. roommate of Dale's when he was in the hospital, an older fella named Tom, asked us to pray for him. All right, let's go to prayer.